Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to Sofa Cinema Club. I'm Colton Smith, and as always, I'm joined by
Chappie Shepherd.
Ben Terrestrial.
Fuck Ben Terrestrial.
No, Ben Elliott.
Ben Elliott. Oh, I completely forgot. I forgot about my own changing the name.
He's not got a surname, Elliott. Never says it.
Oh, that's what I thought. Ben Elliott. Ben Elliott.
The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together to educate each other on films. It's all about the films we should have seen, but we haven't. Each week, we set a film for each other, and then we come into the studio and we talk about what we loved, hated, and rated. Now, the beauty of our film club is that anybody can join in. All you have to do is watch along with the film at home, and then join us every Thursday to find out what we thought of the film. This week's film has been chosen by you guys at home in our audience pick, and it is E.T. But before we get into talking all things E.T., how has your week been? What have you been up to?
We met Queen, didn't we?
We met Queen.
We did.
So it was Queen at the front, Shepherd and Price in midfield, Colson Smith in defence, wasn't it? That's how we met her.
I was practically the goalkeeper, I think, like the last line.
Last line of defence, yeah.
Me and Jack... We're on the street opposite number 8.
Early on. You're in early doors.
As she got out the car, Jack just turned to me. Jack turned to me and went, oh, it's gone absolutely silent. It went silent when she got out the car.
Yeah.
And then we were saying, it's a minute at best, isn't it? It's a little hi, nice to meet you, and a walk on. And as she started to talk to, you know, the legends, Bill and Helen and Soon or whatever, me and Jack suddenly realised she was actually going to stop and talk to us for like a few minutes.
Yeah.
It's not a minute.
No, it's a good 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah. I mean, we were nervous. We had in our heads about something that you might say, I might try this little joke, I might try and calm the atmosphere down with this little gag. And then as soon as you see her, you said, didn't you, Ben, all that shit goes right out of your head and you're like, shit, it's the Queen.
Yeah.
Big deal.
I think it's the most quietest I've ever been. And I kind of just looked and smiled, didn't have a clue what to do or what to say.
You didn't say anything?
No.
But was there an opportunity for you, though?
Yeah, completely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there was, yeah.
She said, hi, I ignored her.
Oh.
No, she didn't.
Sorry, I've got a lot on. Sorry.
What a cool thing to be a part of. You know, the whole place was buzzing, wasn't it? There was a great atmosphere around. We were obviously so lucky to have experienced it. And I think I was very much so just in the moment of just enjoying it. And I did just smile and say hello and think, you know, this is pretty cool. Like, and I think it was evident that, you know, she's a very hardworking 95-year-old woman who was enjoying her day.
Yeah.
We got a nice little picture of the three of us on the red carpet, though, didn't we? With our Union Jacks.
Have we put that on the thingy?
Not yet. I was going to put it out on my Instagram on Friday night, and I asked you both for, like, caption suggestions, and you both ignored me.
Oh, we didn't know. Just put on what you want.
Dude, I was full camping. I haven't got time. I'm lighting a fire.
Tell us about Bear Grylls.
Well, first off, have you ever lit... you have to light the jacuzzi.
What?
Log hot tub sort of thing.
It's a log hot tub. What? Can't just press it on. It's like...
It's not just put on.
No, it's log. So you get this kind of pod with the bed in and whatever. We'd never done it. Got the dog. Star's in there. Star's loving it.
Mm.
She's straight off next door.
Checking the neighbours out.
Straight up. They had a little dog. And then they went, oh, have you lit fires? And I went, yeah, yeah. And she went, well, you have to light it 2 hours before you want the hot tub. So lit it, went wakeboarding, went bodyboarding, came back, too hot.
Too hot.
Oh, wait, I piled way too much on. Way too much.
Were you thinking, I've watched the American Barbecue Showdown. I know what I'm doing with these logs.
I know what I'm doing with logs. I mean, the poor kids got in and they looked at me like, Dan, I mean, this is too much. We might faint. And I went, yeah, just wait for it to cool down. Wait for
boiling
it to cool
your
down.
Blood.
It was like it was. I mean, they were bright red.
Like being in the bath.
They were sweating. And I went, yeah, just wait. Wait for it to cool down. It's pretty much 1 a.m, isn't it? We're waiting for it to cool down. Yeah, it's like you got no chance.
That's good.
It was mint. Dog loved it. Dog obviously was sleeping with us, doesn't normally sleep with us. And I don't know whether you get this, Jack, but do you ever get the dog wake up, which is basically face in your face,
yeah,
and then you're not doing anything, and then right, okay, I'm just gonna go straight for the lick.
Oh god, yeah. Ours are tiny. I mean, ours go in the bed. Ours sleep in the bed.
I'd be concerned sleeping with one of your dogs
about rolling over.
Yeah,
hold on, they sleep in the bed.
Well, they've just sort of like got free rein.
How do they get onto the bed?
Yeah.
Oh, there's they've got like a little beanbag that they can jump up on. And then jump up on the bed.
Stairs.
Yeah, they've got like stairs.
I saw that in a service station. We parked and a woman undid, she had this Jeep and she pulled down collapsible stairs and her two Labradors walked down the collapsible stairs. Did a shit, walked back up. It was like E.T. They went down, phone home, did a little shit and then went back up the stairs. I said to her, that's good. I said, I could do with one of those. Come out the loo, down the stairs, and then go back up. And Coulson, now, before we met the Queen, I got back late, and then Coulson got back from Ibiza late, didn't you?
Yeah.
And then we had to have a little chat about what time alarm we had to set.
Yeah.
And then you said to me, you came back, you were a bit tender, weren't you?
Yeah, and I said, I don't know how I'm going to sleep, Ben. And you went, oh, why? Jet lag, it's only an hour. And I was like, I've done something. I've got to sleep on my front. So the last time we spoke on the podcast was just before I set off on Tour de Tapas, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
So I've set off on Tour de Tapas, the well-known Spanish cycle ride around the island of Ibiza. And I've set off and it's going fine. Obviously, I'm wearing a lot of sun cream, but it gets a bit hot, does Tour de Tapas. So about, you know, a few miles in, I change from a T-shirt to a vest.
Oh, big mistake.
Ooh, you don't see that on the Tour de France, do you?
I thought,
stop, take the yellow jersey off, I need a vest.
Whilst I'm doing it, I bet I'll just re-put on the sun cream. So I've re-put on the sun cream and I've reached around. But there's obviously some patches on my shoulders and like collarbone area that I couldn't reach. Because I had the weirdest streaks of sunburn.
So you didn't have a spray, you had a cream.
I'd left the spray in the boot of my car.
Oh no, you've got to go spray.
Exactly, Jack. Exactly. I had a cream for the whole
what
trip.
What is it, the 90s?
And do you know the worst thing was?
It's 70s.
Nivea Kids Factor 50. It was a rub. Oh. It wasn't the good one. So anyway, I get back that night, go to bed, wake up, and when I go for my siesta, I can't sleep on my back, and I'm like, what's that? And I woke up and I just had the worst sunburn in streaks. Oof. Down my shoulders. So I had to sleep on my front for about 4 nights.
He put a shirt on, Jack, to go and meet the Queen. And he shirted like that. Shirt and a jumper. He said, I can't do this. I said, you've got to go T-shirts. Too bad.
It's the shower, innit, after.
Oh, yeah.
If but you've got any sunburn.
It was a bit of going to Ben. I went, I'm going to have to go from smart to casual to meet the Queen. Because
I'm going to have to go bare-chested. Awkward. But she'll understand when she sees the burns. But it was proper red mark.
And you could see my fingerprints into where I'd managed to rub the cream.
Oh.
So this week is when the audience at home get to pick what we want to watch. At the end of Stand By Me, the one note from you two was, don't pick anything shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Easy instruction.
What a note.
We had probably 300 entries this week, and some of them obviously were shit and some of them weren't shit, but we came up randomly with...
Random generator.
The random generator's done us well again. We came up with E.T., good film, versus Breakfast Club.
Good film, good
that
film.
That semi-final won. Then we had Truman Show versus French Connection. That semi-final too. So it's four good films there. That's four.
Yeah, strong. Could have gone either way. I'd have been happy either way actually this week.
Yeah.
So the final was E.T. versus The Truman Show. They both won their categories quite comfortably in the end. And the film that you guys at home picked us to watch was E.T.
Was it close?
Not really. No. E.T. won with 61%.
So they've
cleared it by 500 votes, really, there.
Yeah.
So it's quite a strong win, really.
Yeah.
But the good thing about you guys at home picking is it means that we get someone from home to come on and give us a synopsis. So this week on the podcast, we are joined by Zoe Bott, who is from Leicester, but is studying at the Uni of Salford. And she sent us a little note to say her favourite film of all time was High School Musical. So she's obviously got good taste.
Oh,
It's a fix.
She obviously got good taste. And this is what she had to say when we asked her for a synopsis of E.T.
E.T. is a Steven Spielberg classic from 1982. The film follows a young boy named Elliot who befriends and brings home an alien who has been stranded on Earth. Elliot shows the alien to his brother and sister and they later name him E.T., Together they must help to look after, protect and hide E.T. from not only their own mother, but also the government officials who are hunting down E.T. Throughout the film we see the friendship between Elliot and E.T. grow stronger as they develop an empathic connection with one another. Although they have become the best of friends, Elliot must help E.T. contact his spacecraft so that he can return home to his own planet. E.T. is an iconic film that has stood the test of time as it is still popular and loved today.
Another strong synopsis there, I think.
Yeah.
Very strong. People are getting quite used to this, aren't they, now?
Yeah, but come on. They're not up against it. They've got time to think of these things. We haven't.
We just wing it.
I'm doing a few an hour, says Jack. Yeah. It's not easy. I'm having to think on my feet here.
It is great, though, that obviously we are officially podcasters. We've been doing this for four series. You know, luckily, we've got quite a lot of people that listen to this. And we can literally just put it out to the people that listen to the podcast, and then they come on and probably do as good, if not a better job than what we do.
It was a very good synopsis, wasn't it? I'm like, oh God, it's actually really tricky what we do. And then someone just does it in a minute and then effectively does the ratings and you go, that's the podcast, lads. I've saved you an hour.
And you string it on for an hour, you three, talking about shite.
Yeah, and actually, I could do it all in a minute, talking about Ibiza and log cabins, and I can do it in a minute. Bye.
Right, let's get into it. So E.T. just come onto Netflix, which I think is a really timely sort of pick for us, isn't it? So if people at home haven't watched it, it's officially on Netflix now. And Ben said off air earlier that it's a really good copy as well, isn't it, for a film that's so old.
I think they remastered it at some point, because this is 82, isn't it? They remastered it, and so Netflix have done a very, very good job.
They've remastered it a couple of times, actually. Spielberg remastered it for the 20th anniversary edition, 2002, I think. And he took little things out, like, you know, at the end when they've all got guns in their hand? And he changed it that they've all got walkie-talkies, because they wanted to take the fact people might deem it, like, violent, the government trying to shoot the kids or shoot the alien or whatever.
Yeah.
And he spent $100,000 doing that, changing all that CGI and other bits and stuff in between. And then he changed his mind and then put them all back in. And he said, people should just remember it and just see it for what it was and not try and change it. That's it. So he changed his mind and went back again and took everything out that he put in.
This is a film that really sums up the podcast in terms of, it's a film that you have to watch, isn't it? It's one of those like staple classic films. Mm. And I remember watching this probably with my dad, maybe even with my sister. And I haven't watched it for such a long, long time, but I knew it was a good film. So when it came up, I was like, I'm glad that's a good film. And it was off memory, but then it's a film that I've not continued to watch. And the bit that I remembered as I was putting it on, and the bit I was really looking forward to, and this is obviously the child brain that watched it the first time, was, you know, when the house goes into like tents and the bubbles and all that. That was the bit that stuck with me, because that just seemed so massive and so unordinary. So as I was sat watching it, I was like, I can't wait for that bit. I can't wait for that bit. How did you both watch it?
Jack, how did you watch it?
I didn't watch it. I was going to watch it, and I thought, I can literally almost repeat every single scene, and I know virtually everything that happens in it, so...
We're going to put that to the test, by the way.
I know, right, okay, you will do, yeah.
Awkward.
I saw this film with my daughter, actually, for her first time, watching it a few years back, and this is when I was trying to get her involved in cinema, really, just so that... You know, you could see how she would experience something. Because obviously it's an emotional film, this, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then I was really interested to watch her reaction towards the end of the film, when most people, most adults, even now, will say they cried their eyes out at E.T. when, you know, the ending when he's in the hospital and they're trying to bring him back. I'm jumping the gun here. But I'm looking at my daughter. No emotion whatsoever. Completely dead behind the eyes.
Just didn't get it.
No. Just weird how some things make people emotional and others don't. And I'd have thought E.T., everybody's cried at E.T., but not with her. Yeah. Well, how did you two watch it? You just watched it in the flat, Coles.
I just watched it in the flat on my own, yeah.
Ben?
I watched it with my son, and interestingly, I was 11 when this came out, and he is just past that now. But it was a real moment watching it with him. Mm. It was really quite special because you're watching it. I'm watching it as an adult thinking about when I first saw it as a child in the cinema, which was when this first came out. It was massive.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the film. Like, you don't get it so much now, but back in those days, these films didn't come along. Like, this was going to be the film to watch this year. It was like... The Star Wars year.
Yeah.
The E.T. year. The Raiders year.
Yeah.
That's how it was. So everyone in your school watched it. So it was quite a thing for me. So I sat down and watched it with him. And I have to admit, the bit where E.T., I've gone. My head's gone. When E.T.'s dying and he's looking pale. The bit in the river, we'll come to it, always gets me. My head's gone. When he's in the river and a raccoon's trying to eat E.T.'s face, my head's gone. I tell you, it was back when I was a kid, I was so gutted. I was like, oh, my head's gone. I look at my son, nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it looks... they're too used to CGI now.
I don't know.
So, yeah, but nothing. I'm looking, I'm bawling. I've gone. My head's gone. I'm like, he's going to die. He's not going to die. You've seen it before. He's going to die. So, yes, watched it with my son, which was amazing.
Straight into it, we have spaceship coming down from space, landing in a field, loads of weird alien noises, and one of them runs off. And then the next thing you know, I guess, are they like Area 51 sort of?
Yeah, it's a tricky walk, isn't it? E.T.'s got a tricky walk and he's in the wood. Yeah. Not easy.
That little shuffle.
Until he has to run and then he absolutely bombs it.
He's quick when he wants to be. He's a bit like Shepard, low centre of gravity as E.T.
That's it.
And then he's off.
Do you know how they film that, by the way? When they've got E.T., whenever you see E.T. like running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was actually a small child who was born without any legs, but he was really good at walking on his hands. So it's actually a child in an E.T. costume walking on his hands.
You're joking.
When it's a close-up, it's just a puppet and it's just a guy manoeuvring him like, as a puppet. But yeah, when it's like full-on, you see movement of E.T., it's a small child moving on his hands.
Wow. So E.T. is instantly abandoned by his parents, his family, his own kind, because they have to take off because they're being chased by the Area 51. The only thing I can almost relate that to is when like you lose your mum in the supermarket, but normally you'd find her straight away, whereas E.T. hasn't. They've gone into space.
You're on a different planet.
I've lost.
It's hardly a supermarket.
That's the most traumatising thing for a child, by the way, is losing
He's
your
in
parent.
A different galaxy. You've gone to Aldi. You're in the third aisle looking at the canoe. You've lost your mum and go, where do you want to go? Home. Coulson phone home.
Literally. You know that in drama school when you do like emotive work and they make you think of something to make you cry? When I was a kid, that's what I used to think of, was losing my mum in the supermarket, because it used to be the worst thing ever. I'd be stood looking at fucking cheese strings and she'd be on my shoulder and then I'd look around and she'd be gone. And you do that run up the aisles looking, you're like, yeah. Mum, where? And she's not arsed.
Did you catch her running out the shop? I've got away, quick. Leave him into outer space. Oh no, I got lost once and I went into I think I was seven, I went to a furniture shop and I went, I'm lost. And the lad went, you'd expect people to be really nice to a kid who's lost. And he went, oh, you're fucking joking. He just couldn't be arsed. He went, right, okay, stand by the counter. I'll ring the police. Oh, that's the, there we go. They've landed. So, of course, Spielberg's done Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which I don't think you've seen, have you, Coles?
No. But we've covered quite a bit of Spielberg on this podcast now, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
He got the idea, Ben, actually, from Close Encounters.
Oh, did he?
So at the end of Close Encounters, when the aliens arrive, sorry, Coles, for spoiling it.
Yeah.
But that when they arrive,
yeah,
he got the idea and thought, I wonder if there's a film if one of the aliens sort of got left behind and how would he experience Earth on his own and if somebody sort of found him, if some children or something found him. And he came up with that idea and he thought it'd be an interesting concept and he sort of passed the idea on to a screenwriter who at the time was Harrison Ford's girlfriend, who would then become Harrison Ford's wife, who he knew and met her from when he was filming Raiders of the Lost Ark in the year before. He told the idea to her and she went, I'll have a bash at writing it. She wrote it and wrote E.T. So she was writing E.T.
Wow.
While he was filming Raiders with her boyfriend, with Harrison. And then at the end of Raiders, he went, have you finished that script? He went, yeah. And he went, right, let's have a look. Read it and went, this is bloody good. Let's see about making this one next.
It's easy, isn't it?
Wow.
It's easy. I was just thinking that, I mean, that time, 80s, 70s, is in 75, he's done Jaws.
Close Encounters.
He's then doing Raiders. Then he does E.T. I mean, he's just printing money. Just one hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
What a man. So E.T. has been left behind. What do you do? You run into town and you try and find a little outhouse to camp in, don't you?
Yeah.
And whilst E.T.'s in the outhouse, that's the first time that we meet Elliot, his brother, and all of their like friendship group.
When I was young, I so wanted to be in that kitchen.
That house. That's what I remembered, because the house is massive.
It felt so American.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, the lighting in this film is extraordinary. But the atmosphere, they're eating pizza, they're playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God, it'd be meant to be there. And they're talking over each other. It doesn't feel set, does it? It feels very natural.
Yeah.
It's made it feel very like it's a real home.
Whenever the kids have got scenes together, it reminded me so, so much of Stranger Things. Like, so. And then when you think about the premise of Stranger Things, you're like, there's something in
this. It's just it's just completely robbed from E.T., The Goonies, completely.
Anyway, so Elliot goes to meet the pizza man, doesn't he? Being the youngest, he gets sent out to meet the pizza man. And as he's bringing the pizza back
massive
in...
Massive pizza. I just had I'd had frozen pizza.
Chicago town.
It's massive. Couldn't carry it, could he? Like 27 inch.
Yeah. It's like the ones from Costco. So he brings it in, and as he's bringing it up the old driveway, he hears a funny noise. So he goes to investigate the funny noise, and that's when he has his first encounter.
Well, he throws the ball in, doesn't he?
Yeah, and then he sees something, and he doesn't know what he's seen, but he's scared. So he runs into the house, and he says, I've just seen something like a... What does he say? Is it a mutant? Something like that. He doesn't know what it is, does he?
And they think it's an animal, don't they?
Yeah.
So they all go out. They all grab kitchen knives.
They think it's raccoons, don't they?
Yeah.
My brother had raccoons. We switched the lights on once and caught them all. And they do look like a cartoon when they're stopped.
What do you mean? Like, so, like they've been caught doing something naughty.
He had this turf laid. He lives in America. He had this turf laid. And apparently they really love it. There must be bugs in it or something. Or they like lifting it up and tearing it out around. And I was talking to him that night in his house. And out of nowhere, so he goes, raccoons! He went, they're doing the lawn, I'm going to get them. He puts the light on, the floodlight in the garden, and they will go, like freeze.
Like they can't be seen if they don't move.
Yes. They make a right old racket, and they don't move. They're not arsed. I mean, what's he going to do to them? He's not going to do anything to them. He goes, go on, go away with you.
Yeah, away. Be gone.
Be gone. Piss off. I'm staying here. I'm digging up your lawn, mate. they are fun. They're going back. They're funny. But yeah, I wouldn't mess with them. Bit like a badger. I wouldn't mess with that.
It's the American badger.
It's the American badger. So he throws a ball in. Very, very famous scene. The way the lighting is. Throws a ball in. Ball comes back out.
On a big wide, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful lighting. And then they smash the pizza, which is a downer. But he knows there is something there. They can't find it.
Yeah, and they see a footprint, don't they? And they're like, oh, it could be anything. But they know it's a weird footprint. But that's it, you know, end of investigation. Everyone's back in the house. But Elliot kind of thinks that there's a little bit more to this, doesn't he? So he kind of camps out.
And then he hears something in the corn, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Which is a great bit of filmmaking. Because all the time, he's doing a bit similar, I suppose, to what he did in Jaws, is he doesn't really want you to see E.T. clearly for a whole portion of the first bit of the film. Mm. So you're always seeing him in shadow or covered by something until Elliot sees him.
Which gives you an idea of fear.
He puts you as Elliot. It's very clever.
Another clever thing that he does, Spielberg, he films it all on Elliot's eye level.
Yeah.
So that you feel just as much as a child and as vulnerable as what he does. Very clever filmmaking.
Yeah, you're right.
As Elliot and E.T. start to have more and more encounters, they start to develop a little bit of trust, don't they? And although they can't communicate with each other, they can kind of gain trust and gain respect for each other. And they do that by reaching out. E.T. does the typical child thing of copying every move, doesn't he? And you know, you kind of get this bond from them. And Elliot takes it on him that E.T. isn't actually safe and that there are people after him and that it's his job to be a friend to him, look after him.
And also that you start to get that feeling of the synergy between them, don't you?
Yeah.
That they both start feeling similar things. So they become at one. E.T. can almost communicate mentally with him.
Well, he's a loner as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's not really got any friends of his own. Corey Feldman, who was in Stand By Me,
yeah,
that we watched last week, he was meant to be Elliot's friend in this film. Spielberg gave him a part, and he decided against it because he thought Elliot should be a bit of a loner, hence why he's got such a close relationship with E.T., and then he promised Feldman he would put him in one of his other films that he makes, and then he produced Gremlins, which is why Corey Feldman is basically playing the role that he would have had in E.T. He plays that role in Gremlins.
I've just remembered.
Mm.
I've met Elliot.
Have you?
Yeah, you've told me this story as well.
Who is Elliot?
Henry Thomas. Henry
Thomas.
Do you remember the guy in that Netflix show? What was that haunted house show?
Haunting of Hill House. That's
yeah.
It.
I met him in America. And he answered the door. He knew my mate. And my mate, I went to go into his house in America. My mate never said anything. And he answered the door. And it's like, you get used to seeing people, don't you, in our job. But I just went, oh, shit, that's Elliot. And he must have known. Lovely lad. Yeah. Really lovely. But it's unreal how much that has gone into the psyche. I mean, I really felt like, I kind of knew him. I'm like, God, that's weird.
Big childhood moment.
Yeah.
So we see them become closer and closer friends. They leave the Skittles, don't they, or the peanuts, whatever they are.
Reese's Pieces. Another bit of trivia about this.
God, you fucked to say you've not watched the film, Jack. You're on it.
Spielberg wanted them to be M&Ms.
Yeah.
He felt like M&Ms were more universal. Everybody would get on that bandwagon and go, yeah, M&M's, we know them. And the Mars Company, which obviously own M&M's, said, piss off, you're not using M&M's because we think E.T.'s ugly. True story. They saw the concept of E.T. and they went, no, he's ugly. He's going to scare people. We don't want E.T. to like M&M's.
Wow.
So you're not having our brand. And he went, all right, okay. Went and chose Reese's Pieces. The shares in Reese's Pieces on the back of the film skyrocketed because E.T. eats Reese's Pieces. And ever since then, product placement became a massive thing in cinema of people drinking Coke and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it did exist before that, but people really got on board.
So what you're saying is E.T. was like the first ever influencer.
I mean, product placement did exist beforehand, but this really did ramp it up a bit more.
How amazing.
Yeah.
So they're in the house and Elliot kind of keeps him in his cupboard for the night, doesn't he?
How's he get up the stairs?
He follows the Reese's Pieces.
I know, but he can't really... Have you noticed that? Sometimes he can really run.
Because it's a kid on his hands, that's...
I was like, how's he go up the stairs? And he gets in. He looks at everything, doesn't he? That cupboard. I remember being a kid going, oh.
I want in that cupboard.
Yeah.
Joining cupboard to your sibling's room. How mint.
I'm like, that's mint. It's as big as a room.
Yeah. How mint.
Oh, you'd sleep in there, be mint.
When you were watching these films at 11 years old, you obviously had the American dream that I've had from the films that I've watched at 11 years old.
Yeah, I did. But also remember, now we are much more integrated into America. So back then, a film would come out in the States, you'd have to wait for it in England. You'd wait. So you get a load of hype. And America and LA, particularly kind of Hollywood, but that kind of 80s LA seemed a million miles away from early 80s Newcastle.
It's a different galaxy, Ben.
It's a different galaxy. A long, 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 long way away. So all of these things, like the BMX, the Reese's Pieces, the pizza delivery, it was all like, oh, I'd be meant to live there. The walk-in wardrobe. The big fridge. It was like, oh, this will be mint.
So he decides to bunk off school for a day, doesn't he? And kind of get to know his new friend more. Show his new friend around the house and go through the awkward bits that you come across when you find a new planet. A bit like dogs, because that's always an awkward encounter, isn't it?
I think he'd have a rough time. He would have a rough time.
Star.
I think that wouldn't go down too well at all. Can you imagine 2 seconds in?
And they're really kind of getting along strong. And Elliot, kind of the trust and the friendship just grows and grows instantly. And Elliot decides that he's in a position where he can tell his brother and tell his sister. And at this point, I'm like, no, don't tell him. You know, it's got to be your thing. You've got to keep the secret. But he tells his brother and he tells his little sister. And his little sister has that brilliant line of, I don't like his feet.
How good is she?
Yeah, brilliant.
Another bit of trivia, what she meant by that. That wasn't in the script, that was an ad-lib. And it was only an ad-lib because she wasn't saying she didn't like E.T.'s feet. The guy who was doing the puppeteering in the E.T. thing, there was loads of wires and cables coming out on top of his feet. So she saw them as his feet. And she said, I don't like his feet because they were full of like wires, because obviously it was like a puppet.
That's what Spielberg does very well, is it always feels like every time each person sees E.T., he captures the first moment.
Yeah.
Brilliantly.
It was all filmed in chronological order.
Ah.
For that reason, so that he wanted to see the progression, basically, the full thing. And he says none of the kids were acting. They never saw just the costume line at the side of the set.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes sense, because you could really see Drew Barrymore really had invested completely in, oh, this is an alien.
Yeah.
I really liked the scene where Elliot has to go back to school and E.T.'s on his own. So he kind of just becomes one of the family, doesn't he? And him and the dog have free roam on the house.
Straight to the big fridge.
It's the American fridge freezer. Starts off on the old potato salad, pretty quickly moves on to the Coors Light. Flicks through the TV. I just think that's brilliant. In the way they did that and made it feel so believable and almost real. And then equally, when the mum returns from school and the little sister is trying to introduce them, and the mum is just in her own world and can't quite see all the mess and can't see everything that's going on around her, you know, the artistic license kind of just let that happen and worked so well.
And E.T. just always moves out of her view, doesn't
But always for a purpose. Not like he's trying to evolve. Yeah. Always, there's always a purpose behind it, which I just thought was really, really clever.
She opens the fridge door and knocks him out.
Yeah. And the noises that he starts to make of, So E.T. has started building something, hasn't he? Because E.T. has seen technology around the house.
God, you won't even remember those machines, will you?
Not a
those
clue what that was. Machine. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Was it like for spellings?
Yeah.
I could have done with one, couldn't I?
And, and everyone had one, so it would read out the word and test you, and it was like massive, massive. That's my version of a
PS5.
A PlayStation 5.
Or an Alexa.
Yeah. That doesn't talk back to you. You type in.
So we don't quite know what he's building, but as he sees stuff around the house, there's a scene when Elliot returns home from school, isn't there? And again, their communication has got better because E.T. has been taught to talk by his younger sister in the most random way ever. So Elliot decides that E.T.'s smart enough to learn how to talk and communicate. So it really does step up to the next level.
She's dressed E.T. up. I mean, how brilliant's that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had a play date. I've dressed E.T. up in a wig and hair.
What are you doing to him? It's embarrassing.
Yeah. But you felt like he was really saying that.
Yeah. And then that's where he gives him the name of E.T., which is a great name. So with him seeing the technology around the house, he sees a phone, and the communication that he starts to be able to have with Elliot is that he's fascinated with the phone. And Elliot says, what is it? And it's at this point when Elliot realises that actually E.T. wants to phone home.
He takes the comic book and the TV and puts them together, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And then thinks, actually, I've got to go back.
Yeah.
And she says, phone. And there is that very famous bit. How many people at school, you probably didn't get this. Everyone was doing a Yoda impression for a few years, then straight onto the E.T. impression. Almost the same.
It is brilliant. So Elliot decides that being his newfound best friend, he has to help him do whatever he wants. So they go out to the shed, him and his brother, and they get all the materials they can, and they just let E.T. build.
Yeah.
And while the Area 51 people are listening into the conversation.
Yeah.
So that's the undercurrent now.
It's quite obvious and evident that they're being followed by people who want E.T. for different reasons. When E.T.'s project's finished, when he's got everything he needs to get home, they take him, Elliot cycles him back up to where he first encountered.
They have the really clever bit where they do it as trick or treat, don't they?
Oh, and they dress him up.
Dress him up. And that is, I mean, what a brilliant piece of filmmaking. Yeah. So the older brother's got a knife in his head and he goes, ouch.
Yeah. He goes to help. He wants to help heal him, doesn't he?
Yeah, which is brilliant. Because you realise E.T., Elliot cuts his finger on the saw and E.T. can repair it. They dress E.T. up as a ghost. And then I always remember the Polaroid photo. Gets the flash and goes, falls over. And then Elliot's like, what's Elliot? A kind of ghoul or something?
Yeah, he's got eyeshadow on, hasn't he?
And I remember seeing this as well, because of course you have it now. But when I was young, we didn't have trick or treating. And we just had BMXs, but they're all dressed up. And then they had that really good bit where Yoda passes E.T.
Actually, in episode one, The Phantom Menace, there's a famous shot where I think one of the senators or something are giving a big speech, and you can see there's like a little team of E.T.s in Star Wars. Like, they're in like the similar galaxy. So I think that's a obvious, because George Lucas and Spielberg are really good friends, aren't they?
Yeah.
So obviously Spielberg's had a little nod to Yoda in an E.T., and then he's had a little nod back.
So they cycle up, they fly. You kind of get this feel of how magical E.T. and everything is now, don't you? You're understanding his power more, and they take him up to get him home, and this is kind of where it all goes a little bit wrong, isn't it? Does he communicate with home at this point, do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
And what happens? Do they just fall asleep?
I tell you what, though, they can't like him very much, have they?
They don't rush.
Mm.
They're pissed off for ages.
Yeah.
Well, where's that other lad? Which one? You know the other, E.T.? Yeah, oh, I don't know. Gets on my nerves. Always saying ouchie.
Yeah.
Gets on my nerves. Leave him. This was the real bit when I was a kid. The really sad bit. Elliot wakes up, can't find E.T.
I'll let you talk about this bit then, Ben.
So The bit where he can't find him and he sat on the chair and he does a very close-up shot and he goes, I can't find him, he's gone. And the older brother goes, well, I'll go and find him. I remember seeing that and thinking, oh, that's it. That's the end of the film. He hasn't got home. He's dead. That's the end. I was like, I was gutted. My head had gone, full gone. And then the brother goes up, doesn't he?
He says, go to the woods, go to the woods.
And then he sees him in the river. And then I've lost it. E.T., pale, lying in a river with a raccoon chewing on his finger. I was like, I looked at my dad. Dad's giving nothing away. It's fine, it's fine. It's a puppet. I think that's what came back from my dad. Not involved in it at all. It's a puppet, son, don't worry. But my head had gone. So he's in bad way, isn't he? So he's got to take him home.
The kids don't really know what to do now, do they? Because they're seeing their friend, their new mate that they've been hiding out and looking after. They're seeing him in a way they've never seen him before. They're seeing what they think is him dying.
Well, it's killing Elliot as well, isn't it? That's the point.
They're both ill.
They're both ill. Because what you've seen through the film is Elliot. When E.T. gets drunk, Elliot gets drunk. So then when E.T. is dying, Elliot is dying. And they're lying opposite each other in the bathroom.
Yeah.
The mum comes in and recognises that Elliot is not well.
Yeah.
And so takes him out. So they're trying to break that gap between the boy and E.T.
And it's the first time the kids tell an adult is kind of when everything kicks off with Area 51 at the same time, isn't it?
Yeah.
The scale of those tents and all of that, it just felt massive the first time I watched that as a kid.
The old hamster run.
Yeah, I just remember it so well. And in people in the spacesuit coming in to get E.T. And
that was a good bit. That was a good bit. Because you think they're going to be dressed like you're going to be able to see their faces, but nine spacemen.
But yeah, that's the clever thing, though, isn't it? They're dressed like aliens. Do you know what I mean? Like, to a kid, they're more like aliens than what the alien is.
Yes.
And they look scary. And it's like, you know, they're destroying the house, aren't they? And it's like, what is going on? What are you doing, sort of thing? Then they seem to make a mini hospital out of the kitchen, don't they? They seem to have it all rigged up and Elliot's on one bed and E.T.'s on the other bed and they're running tests, they're doing things and they're realising that they're trying to find out who E.T. is, where he's from and what the connection is between him and Elliot. And there's a point where both their conditions start to worsen and then Elliot and E.T. kind of talk to each other and they have that moment over the bed, don't they? They basically just talk to each other and it's very much Elliot to E.T. and then Elliot's heart rate picks up and E.T.'s heart rate goes down and you can see that E.T. is almost killing himself to let Elliot live, isn't he?
Yeah.
This was Henry Thomas's audition. Have you seen it on YouTube?
No.
It's his audition when he's a young kid. We'll put it on the gram. Yeah, it's you can see his basically his audition tape. And Spielberg's in the room. And there's a guy doing the lines. And Spielberg's basically just shouting notes out to Henry Thomas. And he's saying stuff like, you don't want to let your friend go. Make sure he can't take your friend with away from you. And Spielberg was saying, I want you to think of the most emotional thing that's ever happened to you. And it was Henry Thomas's dog dying.
Not losing his mum in the supermarket.
No, it wasn't losing his mum in the supermarket. It was his dog being put down at the vets or something. And him losing his best friend. And he says, I want you to think of that moment and think how upset you were and think of E.T. as your pet, your friend, and he's going to die. And action, basically. And what you see is Henry Thomas delivering this performance as a young boy and he's really, 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 really believes in all honesty that E.T. is his best friend and they're going to take his best friend away from him. And you see the audition and you do think, wow, Jesus Christ. And Spielberg offers him the part on the spot. He says, you got the job, kid.
I know, unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's exactly what he does in the film.
Yeah.
If anything, weirdly, I think the audition's even more powerful.
Yeah.
E.T. passes away and the...
Oh, gutting. Gutting. That's a big moment. He dies. White.
Yeah.
Chalky. Like corpse, like completely gone, all the colour gone out of him, and oh,
the most dignifying way whatsoever. They put him in a freezer,
in a freezer bag, yeah. In a freezer.
And the guy who's kind of like, You can't tell if he's a goodie or a baddie, but the Area 51 guy who says, I've been the same kid as you, which didn't make much sense, but he says, you know, this has been my dream, this has been my thing since I was 10 years old. You know, do you want to say goodbye to him? And he says, yeah. And he clears the room as he says goodbye. And I was trying to remember from watching it as a kid how they get out, how do they quite break out and what happens, because I couldn't quite remember E.T. dying and being put in a freezer. And it's that bit where as E.T. dies and Elliot survives, the plant dies and everything that E.T.'s kind of affected dies. And there's just a really strong scene where Elliot basically almost says thank you.
Says he loves him.
Yeah. And, you know, thanks for being my friend sort of thing. And then we see for the first time since he lost his parents in the spaceship in the supermarket at Aldi, we see his, his red heart glow.
But he shits the lid, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He shits the lid. And I remember in the cinema, everyone goes, no, 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 he's alive. He's alive. He shuts it and walks off.
Yeah.
And it was like he'd forgotten. He'd gone, oh, well, he's dead. I'll order a pizza. Shuts the lid. And then as he's leaving, the plant.
The flower plant regrow. And then he looks and he realises and he gets his brother and he says, he's alive. He's alive. But we've got to get him out of here.
What Spielberg does really well is he never lets you, even though it's all fantastical, when Elliot's telling his brother, they do that bit where they're almost in a quarantine with all the smoke and he's profile on. So he can shout at his brother, he's alive, but no one else can hear it. But you know as the audience what he's saying. And that's fucking clever.
Yeah. And they get him out through the old hamster tunnel. The brother dresses up and they just run for it. His brother's had a few driving lessons.
Quick, but to the woods.
But only in reverse.
And then he stops his mate. The best mate stops his mate. Get the bikes. And his mates go, yeah, they all put their hood on. The big earphones.
Yeah.
They were big, Coulson. I mean, that was a big thing. If you had those earphones, because they were just radio, no Bluetooth. It's just a radio on those.
Is that what it was?
Oh, yeah, it's a radio. That isn't even a Walkman. That's like a radio. And he's like, ready. Then they're on BMXs. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
They get on the bikes, don't they? They get out of the car and they start to cycle. And it's gone from a car chase to a bike chase. But the one thing that we know that Area 51 don't know is that these pedals can do more than just hit the pavement, can't they? They can fly.
Yeah.
And they fly back to where they first ever found E.T. And Elliot's realised that the red beaming heart of E.T. means that they're kind of, they're coming back. They're coming back to get him. So there is a bit, a sweet bit of, you know, it is almost over in a way. And they get back, they get to the field, and it's just Elliot, his brother, sister, his mum, and the baddie slash goodie. And then the mates are kind of sat back, aren't they? And the people from Area 51 are obviously still chasing, but we then see this spaceship land, which is the only bit where you realise the age of the film, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because that shot where you can almost see the CGI cut around, and you can see on them, they're so small, you can almost see the bits of green screen that aren't cut around them, like the CGI. It's like they've been cut and just put on a frame sort of thing. But you don't really care that much, do you? Because it's kind of all what this film's about.
Well, Drew Barrymore in that moment, that young girl at that moment, has completely sold it. And he has.
They're devastated. They're devastated.
Yeah.
They've filmed this entire film for how many months? What is it? 3, 4, 5 months?
Yeah.
E.T. is their best friend. They've had a great summer. And now it's the end of the film.
Yeah.
And the kids, they're gutted. End of film.
I'd liked that bit where E.T. says to Elliot, come.
I think I might go. Let's have a go. Let's have a look. Would you go, Jack?
I'd go. I think it's right for the film that he doesn't.
Yeah, totally.
John Williams had real trouble doing the score to this ending. Because obviously this is when the music kicks in. And it's do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And he couldn't get the right notes. He couldn't get the orchestra to hit the beat, basically, when everything was lining up. So Spielberg said, right, you do your orchestra, you do the song you want to do, and I'll re-edit the ending and I'll fit it to the music rather than the other way around.
Wow. That's the power of being John Williams, I guess, isn't it?
Well, it just wasn't. It wasn't getting the It wasn't hitting the bits that he wanted it to. And Spielberg agreed because obviously he just edited the film and given it and gone put a score to that. And he'd gone, it's just the ending. I can't with the timing of every shot and blah blah blah. The piece of music I want to do for all the right moments, it's not hitting the right scenes. So he went, show me what you've got. I'll listen to that and I'll just re-edit it to fit your music.
Oh, that's great.
And he won an Oscar.
Wow.
And I won an Oscar. which was nice.
Which was a great evening.
Which is a great evening. I wrote a bit of music, won an Oscar. Yeah.
So yeah, that brings us to the end of the film. So we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and give our ratings.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we're back. We're off the spaceship. We decided to go. But we've been dropped off in time to give our ratings. I'll let you two start. One of you two.
Yeah, I mean, I really like this film. It's a classic Spielberg again, isn't it? He's just an absolute genius, this guy. I mean, you do look back and you think, yeah, Spielberg is one of the best directors. But then when you actually really do dissect the film and think what he's coming up with. I mean, it's an alien that doesn't look fucking real in the slightest. Mm. Why am I crying at the end of it?
Yeah.
I shouldn't be. It's a kid's film. What am I doing? I'm a grown man. Do you know? But you still do. You still, with the power of John Williams as well, and the kids, they're acting, everything. The whole story. I'm not going to go 10. It sounds like I'm teeing up for a 10. But I'm not going 10. Only because, believe it or not, I think Spielberg's done better films. As big as this film is, I think he has done bigger films. I'm going to go 9.2 for me.
What, is it 0.2 for ENT?
Do you know what as well? When this film came out, right, it was the highest grossing film of all time when it came out for 11 years. Did you know that? And it was beaten by Jurassic Park. Which, of course, is another Spielberg film. And when it got released onto VHS, well, it didn't get released onto VHS. He went down the line and told Universal to go down the line of not releasing it onto VHS. You know, like what Disney do when they bring a film out?
Yeah.
Well, they did do, up until the 90s, the film wasn't available for you to rent or buy on video so that it would be an experience that you had to see in the cinema. Which is what Spielberg did up until 1988 for like 6 years because it was the most pirated film in the 80s.
Ben?
Yeah, everything Jack said. I think it's slightly tinged because I was bang on the right age to watch this film.
Yeah.
And I was in the cinema and no one had seen it before. I was in a kind of, when I was very young, a kind of golden age of big movies. Golden age of Spielberg, really. And I remember seeing it. I completely invested in it. I find it very hard to separate the film from the younger Ben now. Because there is so much I love about it. And I think you're dead right, Jack. It's a crappy plastic bit of thing. When he's lying on the slab and you think, it's a bit crappy. But you go there. Yeah, I was really thinking about this. I was thinking about my rating, really thinking about, you know, what could I knock off and whatever. And I thought, in the end, in my heart, for that time, it's a 10 for me, for my age. And even my now, I couldn't separate it. It was such a huge film for me to watch.
Mm.
The fact that I rewatched it now, 40 years later, and still went, fuck me, it's a banger.
For me, I'm going to go 9. I don't quite know why it wasn't a 10. I really liked it. I got kind of all the emotive feelings from it. But it's a 9. It's just a very good film, isn't it?
28.2.
Yeah, big rating. Big rating. It's a big film, E.T.
Yeah.
Now time for the biggest part of the podcast.
Huge. The moment you've all been waiting for.
The moment E.T.'s been waiting for. Jackson and Jim.
Yeah, you go on, Jack. Do the jingle as E.T.
Jackson and Jim of the week.
I'll tell you what, it gets better and better this podcast.
You never lose it.
You never lose. Brilliant. So your hidden gem this week, Jack?
So my hidden gem this week, it's a documentary. It's on Sky Documentaries. It came out quite a while ago now, probably about 2012, 13, something like that. I think it's a documentary you've seen, Ben. See if you remember it. The Wolf Pack.
Oh, yes.
You do?
Yes, I do. They all live in that flat.
They do. It's a family. Mum, dad, and there's probably about 5 brothers and sisters. And they live in this apartment in New York. And the kids have never, ever been outside.
Wow.
They're all of an adult age. So they're all like late teens, early 20s. And they've never been outside. They've lived since birth in this apartment. And what these kids do is they watch films and they create and reenact the films in their bedroom to a degree of making their costumes, making props, and refilming and reenacting scenes from films. And their world is this apartment.
Like me and you, Coulson.
Yeah.
They're not held prisoner, but are they? Are they not?
Is it like a religious belief or is there anything to that? Or is it just...
It's weird. Don't get me... I mean, that is weird. Just living in an apartment in one room for your entire life is weird. There's elements of, are they being kept prisoner? Are they not?
They'd never catch COVID.
Well, maybe not. But yeah, it's a fascinating watch. It's about 90 minutes long. That's on Sky and Now TV. It's called The Wolf Pack.
Meanwhile, me and Ben still haven't watched the final of the American Barbecue Showdown.
You've been talking that up.
We've been stuck.
We haven't been together to see the end.
We've been stuck. We've not had chance to do the last step.
Oh, that is. I mean, that's a hidden gem.
You're talking about there's a cliffhanger, and then there's a fucking cliffhanger.
A cliffhanger.
all me and Ben know is we've got Rashid, Sylvie, and Nina in final.
Are we just going to skirt over the cliff?
Well, what? It is a cliffhanger.
No, cliff. You stand on the edge of a...
Cliff.
No. A cliff.
Okay.
Cliff.
I like that, though. It's a cliffhanger.
Speaking of cliffs, do you want to know what we're watching next week?
Whose pick is it?
Me.
Oh, okay, great, yeah.
What wasn't at all what I was going to pick. I had a film in my head, didn't I, for weeks. I kept saying, I'm going to pick that next week, but I'm not. The heat wave is here. Summer is here.
Oh, here we go.
You've made up. It's not summer, is it? It's been pissing it down. You've made that completely up. Summer is here, heat wave, and now I hit with the American classic.
People are starting to go on holiday. We're starting to get that feel of summer adventure. We want to get out and about. We want to wear light clothes. We want to sing and we want to dance.
Do we?
So we are jumping on the plane, We're going to Greece. It's Mamma Mia 2.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Do you just pick sequels now?
Oh, it's a good film.
It's all over TikTok at the moment, and I just can't wait. I can't wait to watch it again.
I can't wait.
It'll be good. It'll be a good one.
Mamma Mia 2. What happened?
It sort of flips between times, doesn't it?
Donna's dead. Plot twist.
Oh, you've ruined it for me. I haven't seen it, I don't think. Is Meryl Streep in it?
Donna's dead. I've just told you that.
She's dead.
Well, I didn't know who Donna is. Oh, so she... No, I haven't seen it. Is it in Greece?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great film. Well, actually, it was filmed in Split in Croatia, because when I was there, they were filming it.
Right, and Mamma Mia 2.
So next week, we're watching Mamma Mia 2.
Four listens.
Remember, you can join us on Monday to listen to this week's episode of Sofa Cinema Club Extraterrestrial. Nothing to do with E.T., just our bonus episode where we tell you guys at home what you can watch on terrestrial TV. And you can keep in touch with us on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok at Sofa Cinema Club. Get in touch with us on Instagram, send us a message, let us know what you think of this week's episode, let us know what you want us to watch next, maybe. Keep the conversation going and make sure you leave us a review on the iTunes store. Until next week, good night, God bless.
Bye-bye.
Good night, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.